And we're live. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. We are live for, this is the Choose Rich podcast, the Choose Rich morning show. And today we are discussing whether or not ETH NFTs are dead. Whether they're done forever. I have some thoughts on it that we're going to be discussing because it's not looking pretty out there, folks. We also have Pacmoon, a meme coin launching on Blast today, and whether or not it could bring the comeback the Blast needs. It's looking like a desert out there. It's looking like a lot of tumbleweeds train around, and we're going to be discussing the bounce back we saw on Ordinals yesterday. We got Pio and Nick taking a little bit of a trip right now. They're in the middle of a flight, so you guys are going to see a little bit more from where they're going. So we're going to be running the show, the Three Amigos, today. But Kix, we haven't had you on the show since the Choose Rich viral movement took off. How has it been from the outside kind of looking in on Twitter, seeing this play out? You're muted.
Absolutely phenomenal, man. This is just a lot of people see the final painting. You know, this has been a masterpiece that Nick's been crafting for years now in front of us, right? You know, and there's been signs. Remember when the punk shirt went viral? You know
what
I mean?
There's been signs.
He's been laying down the grassroots. But dude, just watching it come to fruition, honestly, because I've been making videos with these guys since day one, and just to like see this like come to fruition, it's actually, you know, I'm not going to tear up or anything, but you know, it's kind of special, dude. It's really special to see. And I think Nick absolutely crushed the Dave Portnoy interview yesterday. I'm a massive Dave Portnoy fan. Absolutely love the guy. So just to,
I'm
like
a big Tommy Smokes guy. Big Tommy Smokes guy.
Too, dude. Yeah. I've smoked with Tommy Smokes before, actually.
Wait, actually?
Enough. Yeah. But dude, just absolutely phenomenal. And I've been trying to do my part too. I've been pushing the whole Muad'Dib. You know Muad'Dib? He's the Muad'Dib of crypto. He's leading us from the desert through the sandworms to running the empire, leaders of the empire. So just happy to be here. Thanks.
Awesome. Well, it has, I will say that the meme coin mania that has caused, or that is kind of stemmed from this, has taken out a chapter in this. I saw multiple tickers that I wanted to share with you all because I enjoyed them. The first one was Bunny, which was Bunny Eats His Own Shit, the name of the meme coin. And the best part about these tickers is it's all the same price action. Look, it's the biggest.
Take a sense, immediate rug.
Look at this. So what we have pulled up right now is the Bunny, which is I choose to eat shit every time meme coin. And this
kind of looks like the price action of his profile pic.
Oh, yeah, it actually does.
So wait, Clemente, you want to see two that actually cook, though? Capo.
Oh, I saw that
Giga Cent and Fiat. Both Giga Cent.
I choose poor every time.
Sitting $3.2 million market cap.
Giga Great Cent. Chart. Nice consolidation there. You got to think.
Real strong chart. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And then go to Fiat, which is a Michael Saylor picture called We Call Them Poor.
Dude, this is what I would call social gambling. Basically, you see a trend on social media and you're kind of betting on whether or not it's going to continue or continue to gain popularity. I could literally see my buddies doing this. Like, I have a bunch of buddies who are big sports gamblers. This is very similar. Yeah. And like, I started trading meme coins for the first time when I bought a little bit of Nick, and then I sold it because I didn't want to be like, you know, closely attached to it. But it's very fun trading shit coins on Solana. You buy and sell that stuff.
Clemente,
right? Technology.
Wait. Clemente, take a wild guess how many shit coins I bought on Monday.
7.
40.
306.
Dude, you are.
Oh, God. Your accountant is going to fucking have a heart attack, dude.
I'm fucked, dude. I thought the year I had 30,000 transactions was a lot. I was on my 5 p.m. show and we were talking shit coins and we're just scrolling. They were like, so what have you bought today? And I didn't realize how many I bought. I just sit on Photon and trade live pairs as soon as liquidity gets burned and just giga send them. Like, it is so bad. Yesterday, dude, we were on the show and I was like, oh, dude, a good ticker just launched. And they were like, what is it? It was Pokemon. And the ticker was I choose you every time. We aped it on the show. It did an 8X. And everyone was just going, dude, it was electric. Like, dude, meme coins are just fun. Like, that's the worst part.
You're feeling so good right now. You got a great energy. Dude. You just been slaying, dude.
I've been cooking. I think I'm up a couple hundred soul over the last
Dude, what
four
the
days? Awesome. Well, Clemente was sitting next to me, and I was like hitting like 900Xs, a 600X, like just at the offsite, like in between.
What is meetings. Even a 900X?
Or 900%. Sorry, 900%.
Yeah, I was like, dude, 9X, you're just 9X. Cat. You just sit next to Clemente. Hey, dude, just hit a 900X. What are you doing over there?
Well, I like showed it to him. I was
what
like,
an here's idiot.
A, here's, I'm trying here's to a one soul to a living soul. Thing.
And meanwhile, Easy's just yeeting his. Just thousands of dollars in the ship. Dude, no, it's borderline out of control, Easy. I will say, like, dude, going to dinner with this guy, he can't, he's like a kid with ADD. Like, he can't focus. He needs like his iPad, which is basically just him looking at shitcoin charts. You'll be sitting there, we'll be ordering food. And I'm like, oh, what's Easy? What are you ordering? And he's just like, Joe Biden token. And he's like, watching. He's like, oh, I'm going to sell. Yo, Clemente, I just got another 500% game, bro. I'm like, bro, I'm trying to eat dinner.
His brain's been like rewired, rewarped into pure degeneracy. I love it, dude. So just going to pitch you on a word, Clemente, and come back to me and see what you think about it, right? Because, like, you know, shit coin, meme coin, it's fun and all. But, you know, we're trying to break into, you know, the culture, Wall Street, get some of those suits buying along with us. Meme-fi, right? So it's
culture
the financialization
coin.
Of meme-onomics. Meme-onomics.
Yeah, meme-onomics.
Yeah. Memonomics, I like it. So this is similar to what Bidenomics is trying to approach.
No,
yeah, but the other way, our bank accounts go up with this, hopefully.
Yeah. He's trying to make it go down. I feel like culture coin is the term that a lot of people have been running with.
Yeah, that sounds like WAGMI. I'm more of a choose rich guy.
Fair. So we're going to go with meme-onomics.
Well, meme-fi, but I think you could come up with a better term than me. Honestly, I really thought about that and, you know.
All right. What would the Sonic guy call it?
Huh? Sonic guy?
What would the Sonic guy call it? Is he a meme guy?
Oh yeah. Very quiet. I need to text him too, man. I wonder what he's up to.
You got to get some new tickers on that. Before we kick off the show, a couple more things. Just two more tickers that I thought were absolutely hilarious. Pio was on there. Look at the price action on this shit, dude.
Which looks like his Akatar bag.
Nick.
Oh shit.
Nick's bestie, and then Jampa was the other one that I really liked. And I was looking in the Bodagos Discord, dude, and these guys were like, dude, I'm buying a fat bag of this shit. Just wait till Nick does another Jampa meditation tomorrow. This is going to pump, bro.
Oh, well, dude, my favorite tweet was from D's about Jampa. It was a subtle tweet, but he joined the Discord, and he just goes, buying Jampa, I don't know why, and then tweets about it after. Dudes in Discord's yelling about cabals and exit liquidity when you bought their 10X and they dumped on you. Peak delusion season.
Like, it's absolutely absurd.
I like Jampa because it kind of reminds me of Jamba Juice, and really loved it until someone told me that it wasn't healthy, and that kind of affected me in a fundamental way in my early 20s. But yeah, looks like that chart ain't coming back.
No. Dude, it's all the same shit. These things just pump for a little bit and then they just get
fucking hot potato. This is literally what NFTs was in 2021, dude. It was like,
why do you think like, I sell it the second I buy it? Like, I see a 30-40% candle, I'm out. I speed run for the exit. I don't give a shit. I'm like, dude, just give me a quick little gain. And now with Sol at $150, half of Sol's $75. It stacks. It stacks quickly.
Yeah.
Well, you don't want to get caught holding the bag on crypto hobos. Let me tell you that.
No, not at all. Quick shout out. Two Bodago shout outs. First one goes to Shay, who bought used to have a gold crown Pudgy Penguin PFP. Now a one of one. That he purchased last night. Bad Bunny. Look at this. This is
where did he buy it from? Right guy?
I think Woo is who we bought.
Woo. Right guy's gonna be pissed.
So this is all, like, shout out to Shay's been dominating the community stuff, doing a lot of great stuff. So shout out to Shay. You can follow him at Tankers01. Badass new PFP. Another shout out to Low Tide, who just became a Doggo Don. Look at this, 25 Bodagos, and also last night bought a Nouns Glasses, a PF, Nouns Glasses tatted Bodago. So some big moves being made in the Bodagos ecosystem, continuing to see some action there, which is great to see. And lastly, before we get started, and I throw to Kicks for the weather report, we want to give a quick shout out to Tensor, the leading Solana NFT marketplace. They just announced, or Tensor Foundation just announced, ticker Tensor, which is going to be used to govern the Tensor protocol, which has already traded over $2 billion of NFTs on Solana since its debut, its foundation. In the last 90 days, Tensor's facilitated over 70% of Solana's NFT trading volume, and the Tensor token will be used to support creators and builders on Solana to build the most robust NFT ecosystem in crypto. Let's go. I've been trading a little bit more on Solana. It's so much more enjoyable and so much more fun than trading NFTs on ETH. But I will say I have not been making any money. My little potatoes, not doing too hot. My marms, also not doing too hot, dude. But you know, we're out here, baby. Little potatoes, let's go. Let's go. So to learn more, make sure to follow Tensor Foundation at TensorFDN on X. Kicks, let's kick this thing off. We got a bunch of stuff to cover today. I'll throw it over to you whenever you're ready.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, today is Wednesday, March 13th. We're coming in hot today. ETH market volume, $51 million. That don't make price go up, though. Bitcoin market volume, $20 million. Solana, $17. Woo! Those are some good numbers. NFT market leaders, captains are down 11% to 3.8. Pudgy's down 7% to 12.7. Come on, Pudgy's! I gotta go update my net worth calculator. And mutants and D-gods are up 10% each. On ordinals, node monkeys have rallied 30% from their bottom to 0.6. And quantum cats are up 18% to 0.32. Over the past 24 hours, Tensor Foundation, a separate entity to Tensor, announced Tensor, calling it the future of NFT trading. It states that Tensor protocols have traded over $2 billion of Solana NFTs. And then the last 90 days, they facilitated over 70% of Solana's NFT trading volume when you remove wash trading. Tensor protocols will be adopted by the Tensor Foundation and governed by the Tensor community using the Tensor token. With Tensor Season 3 rewards ending soon, Tensorians are up 20% to 60 SOL. Pac Moon, which is a meme coin launching on Blast, will be completing its airdrop to users today between 12 and 3 p.m. EST, with 40% of the supply airdropped to Blast depositors. Hope it's better than Safe Moon, at least the ending, not the beginning. I'll take the beginning. There's a 14-day window to claim the airdrop, and you can earn a 2.5x thruster point boost by adding liquidity for Pac. Blast total value locked is currently just shy of $3 billion. And over $1 billion of that's active in the dApps. Over on crypto, Bitcoin has broken $73,000 overnight as Bitcoin ETF recorded over $1 billion in inflows for the first time ever, with TradFi continuing to bring in massive inflows for Bitcoin and crypto as a whole. Bitcoin is up 46% in the last month. Lastly, the Choose Rich movement continued its meteoric rise as NFT Nick chose Dave Portnoy of Barstool Sports on his Davey Day Trader show to discuss choosing rich, why NFTs are not dead, and why Nick is still buying Bitcoins and Solanas. After learning more about the Nifty and Bodagos, Dave responds with, "Am I going to end up buying your company?" And Nick responded, "Uh-huh, but not for a little bit of money. It's going to be a lot of money, buddy." The meme coin Nick reached a $79 million market cap yesterday before pulling back to $39 million. And Bodagos reached a 11 soul floor before a slight pullback. I'll tell you what, man. Bodagos, 11 soul floor. Still, 10 soul floor. I don't give a shit, dude. Solana's $150. That's awesome. Happy quarter here. Back in the studio.
Hey, thanks, Kix. Appreciate the weather report. I recommend anyone that watched or that hasn't to watch the Nick and Dave Portnoy like 10-minute segment that they did. I watched it like three times, dude. It was freaking awesome.
Long lost cousins, Clemente, am I wrong?
They're both Jewish. Okay, a lot of no's in that video, I will say. But no, it was great. It was great. And I think Dave was pretty excited by it. And I don't think if I were a betting man, I wouldn't bet that's the last interaction between Nick and Mr. Portnoy. So something to watch for there. But some stories from the Daily Bone, which is posted on Twitter mostly every single morning, but also email to everyone that subscribes at dailybones.com with an S, not a Z. Some people ask, hey, is it an S or a Z? It's Bones with an S. A first story. Let me see if I can find this. First story. These G-tags, the highly anticipated, the long-awaited G-tags by Yuga Labs have revealed. And it was shaky, man.
They look like shit.
Kix, did you see these reveals? So these are the 10K TF G-tags that were long awaited, highly anticipated. What was this? 2 years in the works. I don't want to just shit on him, but like, I want to try to be positive. I'm a, you know, I want to be an ally, but God damn it. These aren't pretty, man.
How is this a PFP?
Dude, this
is. We were told it's a PFP.
So what we have pulled up here for everyone listening are the 10KTF, the Grailed collection. These are sitting at a 0.09 ETH floor. And
you pull up the Monsters, Inc. one?
Which one?
Right there, the blue guy. The blue guy with the glasses.
No, Monsters, Inc. Got it. Yeah, well, let me pull up Mike Wazowski here. What do you think of this guy, Kix?
Mike Wazowski on some roids. I mean, like... yeah, dude. I mean, is it for a video game?
Nobody knows, man.
Other side? I don't know. Like, dude, all right. Let's just talk Yuga real quick. We saw Bored Apes hit a 12 ETH floor. Mutant Apes got into the low twos. I don't know how much of this is ETH NFTs just getting absolutely destroyed right now, or how much of it is just Yuga Labs. And my thought process is, like, I've seen a lot of apes, a lot of people saying, like, Yuga or Bored Apes automatically have provenance and, like, they don't basically need to do anything in order to maintain their floor. Look, I don't know. Easy.
Who the hell told you that?
I saw it multiple times on Twitter. Like, yo,
we're around for like 3 years, dude. That's like some dude in like, you know, Greece back in like 600 BC. And he like makes a pottery before some other guy. He's like, hey, dude, 3,000 years from now, this pottery right here, man, provenance. The pottery you made over there, buddy, ain't nobody going to find that.
Yeah.
We know how that story ends.
Easy, you famously, Kix, for some context, Easy wanted to make a bet with me that Mutant Apes in, I think it was 16 or 12 months, would be trading.
6 months.
In 6 months that there would be a sale from a Mutant Ape below one ETH.
At one ETH.
At one ETH.
One ETH or lower.
ETH at 10K.
It does not matter what, it's that Mutant Apes would, a Mutant Ape would sell for one ETH or lower. In 6 months. And the deal was, if they do sell for one ETH at any point over the next 6 months, Clemente has to buy me a mutant. If they don't at the end of the 6 months, at whatever price they're at, I'll buy Clemente a mutant.
Okay, like, first of all, that deal structure is phenomenal, and I love it. That's
good,
really,
right? That's a good one.
That's a good one. Yeah, so props to you, Easy, on that one. So, Clemente, I'd just probably say yes, and then I think you can business expense that as a marketing expense.
Mm.
Ooh.
I like that. I like that. Yeah, dude, I'm just like, now that Mutant Apes are like affordable, like I can buy a Mutant Ape right now. I don't want one. Like, I liked them way more when it was like $50,000 and I like couldn't even dream of getting one, or it wouldn't make any sense for you to get one. Now I'm like, I'd rather hold on to the ETH, and we'll talk about that a little bit later.
I mean, here's the thing, man, is that like gravity is a real thing in this space, right? Just like gravity to the upside and gravity to the downside. It's really hard to make a trend shift, is what I would say, in this space, regardless of what you're doing or regardless of what you're trying to do. You know what I mean? Like, we're very focused on our end, right, on profile picks and like some other things. But like back in 2021, dude, I mean, like, look at this chart. I bought and traded the shit out of Sandbox Land, and I even was like, I made so much money off of it. I was like, oh, I'm going to hold on to like a 9 plot, like a 3x3 grid, which was like worth like a stupid amount of money at the top. And I mean, like, look at that chart, like pull that chart up. It's just like,
yikes.
That's gravity, man. Right. Like, so like you can't like, too many people like are like overfitting all of these things that like Yuga's doing wrong or Yuga this or that. And these people, man, they don't really have, I'm not doing broad strokes, but like, it's just like, it's so easy. It's like, I don't know. It's like hating on a football team that was like good for 6 years. Now they suck for 6 years because like their cap structure got all messed up or whatever. They had to switch around some coaches and rebuild. It's just like, dude, it's non-productive just to like dunk and trash on someone because they're like struggling and they were doing great like the year before. Like, I'm sorry. Like, if you don't own Yucalab assets, why do you care? Like, you sound like a loser if you're just like crapping on them all the time. And if you do, you made your own financial decisions. Like, grow the hell up. Like, you know, find a sack somewhere if you don't have one. But yeah, dude, I mean, that's just like the reality, dude, is that like 2021 stimulus, everything went to the moon, and a lot of things are coming back down to gravity. It like, but it's not like Yuga Labs is going anywhere. You know what I mean? So is there going to be like a good trend shift kind of thing?
The question that everyone's asking themselves is, if Yuga Labs continues to do well, what does that mean for the underlying NFTs, right? And I think there is a lack of connection there. If this other side game dominates, it's like, okay, what does that mean for the 200,000 or how, dude, probably like 500,000 NFTs that they have under their umbrella? Like, does that mean these GTAG, Grailed NFTs, whatever it is, do those pump? So I think there's a miscorrelation there.
Yeah, I did the math. I literally did the math one time and laid out like how much revenue other deeds would need to make per year in order for the existing floor prices to be sustainable. And it was in the billions of dollars. So literally, if you were buying other deeds assets, I think this was about a year ago, you were literally making a bet. This is going to be the size of Fortnite. Like, you were making the bet that this is going to be like $3 to $4 billion a year in revenue just for the existing prices to make sense, not even for you to make a dime off of them, right? So yeah, I mean, expectations, reality weren't matching up. But yeah, I think, I mean, like, Yuga Labs isn't going anywhere, but what you laid out is the challenge, the struggle is like, there's so many different assets, there's so many different initiatives. It's hard enough to pick like what asset within the Yuga Labs ecosystem is the best one to like make a bet on. So yeah.
Yeah. I agree with everything you said. Next story, we had Drake posting Michael Saylor a Bitcoin video to his Instagram, which has 146 million followers. Bitcoin maybe becoming cool. I don't know. We'll see how that plays out. But Champagne Poppy, let's go. Rocking and rolling. Next story, NFT Stats has joined the team at Memeland. We knew this earlier from Spencer, I think, tweeting about it from Hong Kong or wherever he was. He's going to be doing some research for them. Continue
not
to
Hong Kong, there. Tweeting from NFT Paris, which was NFT announced Paris, the Pudgy it. Times Memeland event.
That's what it was. Yeah. So shout out to NFT Stats. I think we're going to have him on the show next week. Next story, we had Blast upgrading their yield on their USDB from 5 to 15%. Easy. Did you see this?
Yes. It worries me. This reminds me of Terra Luna and Anchor when Anchor was 20% APY. I didn't fully get how it's like backing it. It looks like they're backing it with real world assets and some other things. Yeah, I'm a little worried about it, to be honest. I'm a little worried.
How does it work? So can you explain what it means? Is it that the ETH you now have on Blast is now...
So it's not the ETH. Yeah, it's USD Blast, their stablecoin, which is, it seems like they're going to be going the algorithmic stablecoin route, which every time we've seen this attempted, it usually ends in a depegging and ultimate collapse. So maybe they do it. Hey, yo. But yeah, besides the point, the USDB situation here, if Stats can't explain it, I don't think I can either. So I'm like, this is a little bit worrisome because I tried to call someone
yesterday. The first setup made sense easy because it was at 5% T-bills. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they were also using like Staked ETH and Lido and like stuff like that, which gives you another like on top.
Yeah. So like the ETH stuff makes sense because they're just using Staked ETH, right? So like that yield makes sense. A lot of different people are getting it. The USD yielding off of Treasury bill, like APRs or whatever, which is like 5-6%. That also made sense. So it's like, okay, this money is just getting funneled into a treasury bill. And that's like where the yield's coming from. I'm with you. Now that it's gone up to 15%, I'm like, where'd that other 10% come from? I certainly can see it out there. I just don't think it's risk-free. I think they're essentially like loaning out USDC to people that are like leveraged longing Bitcoin. And that's not a risk-free. Like, treasury bills is risk-free unless the United States collapses.
Which it might.
Yeah. Cascading liquidations, next thing you know, your risk-free dollar is now 80 cents. I'm not sure.
There you go. There you go. A next story and last story of the day, we had Frentech. Actually, two more stories. Frentech shared that the launch of its V2 will be the week after 420. So great. Thank you for giving us the exact date, but it's going to be sometime towards the end of April for its V2 launch. And Frentech points are currently trading OTC at $4 a pop, which is absolutely absurd. Easy, how many Frentech points do you have?
I would have to re-download the app and check, but I think it's in the six figures.
This makes no sense to me, frankly. And
actually,
look,
I think I'm at like 80K.
I hope people make a bunch of money on it, but I saw like Thread Guy, I think, would be getting like multi high five figures of an airdrop from this. I don't even know how that would work or how it would maintain its price, but we'll see how it plays out. Last story, Magic Eden is doing a diamonds drop for ETH OGs. It's dating back all the way to 2017 transactions. You can go ahead and claim those diamonds, which are trading at
eight cents
a pop.
I should be awarded for what I did in 2021 forever.
I think that's the trenches.
Yeah. We were early. Okay. We built the foundation. Okay. This is like Social Security. I'm getting my Social Security back out.
Kicks, I'm very curious to see how much diamonds you get, for example, versus like someone, like how they're weighting all this stuff and how much the dilution of diamonds is going to play. It's a very interesting piece to monitor.
If they were smart, I shouldn't get much, Clemente.
Yeah, we'll see. And Magic Eden did record $3 million in ETH volume yesterday. Not minor. I will like... Magic
how much
Eden
was OpenSea? How much was OpenSea?
OpenSea was like 7 million, if I remember correctly. So, like, to me, I look at OpenSea and I look at Magic Eden with a little bit of an asterisk as like real NFT volume because of the lack of farming that goes on there. Like, Blur recording $25 million in one day. I'm like, okay, I would assume 60% of that, if not more, is Blur farming. So, it's hard for me to get like a real temperature check. But when I look and see $3 million for Magic Eden, knowing that they're enforcing royalties, that feels a little bit more organic to me.
Yes.
So either way, that's worth monitoring. But before, I do want to talk ETH NFTs, but I first want to kick things off by talking about Blast. We have the launch of Pac-Moon today, which is a meme coin launching on Blast. Blast right now, I did a little bit of research and I had Ray look into it a little bit more about Blast, about what kind of activity we're seeing on there. It's pretty dead right now. Like, compared to what I expected going into this, and if you told me like 2 weeks later that we would be seeing the NFT volume that we're seeing right now, for example, ETH NFTs on or Blast NFTs are seeing less than 50 ETH in daily volume. It is a disaster, disastrous launch. I think no one that was heavily bridged or heavily invested in Blast, and there's a lot of big backers, a lot of big names in the space that don't want this thing to go wrong. I can't imagine they're too happy with how this is going so far, but I'm looking at some of the volume. I'm looking at like the fire hose right here, which basically shows some literally all Blast NFT sales. And it's just so small, man. Like there's nothing really going on, but easy.
Yeah, like look what's being traded. I'm surprised it's 50 ETH. Like Blast Punk, Blast Tards. I mean, that's actually a kind of funny name. BAC Genesis, Arendor. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not anything, like it's just low quality stuff, which is the biggest thing. Is like it seemed like people just rushed to get as much liquidity at launch as possible, and now it's just kind of waiting for the real quality projects to launch. I think Pac-Moon is going to be interesting, but Easy, you've been a lot more plugged into Blast than I have. What do you make of what's going on right now in the overall Blast ecosystem, and are you paying attention to Pac-Moon launching today?
I think Pac-Moon will do well. The meme coins over there have done all right, to be honest.
Okay.
Like, not crazy, but like solid. All in all, though, it's a little tough because like most of the liquidity is on Solana meme coins and Base. Base has seemed to take an early lead here when it comes to what's been running with like meme tokens on an ETHL2 and then Avalanche. Like No Chill, Cock, and some of these others on Avalanche are starting to really rally, especially with the Avalanche price action moving much higher in a short time period. Blast in general, though, is tough. Like Blastoise was very hyped, excited for. Tons of people just got wrecked on it. Like that one was the one that everyone thought would actually do well. That's kind of the tough part too, though. And like I look at it, it's like so many people are just playing YOLO games.
Yeah.
Like that's literally like, dude, you saw, I love Moon or Doom on YOLO games. Big fan. And like there's an airdrop. I'm sitting at 865,000 points.
I think you will print on that. For what some people are saying, OXDosa, for example, saying that Blast is more DeFi focused, and possibly I'm looking at the wrong metrics. Is that more of the case of what we should be looking at is the DeFi side of it, at least until Blur launches on Blast at some point in April? I'm assuming the end of April.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's just new, right? I'm sure if you looked at Base's first 2 or 3 months, it's fairly similar, right? Like it's not like you're going to have magic like overnight. I think it takes some time to get the quality projects to launch with you. I played some Play Cambria That was fun. I personally haven't done anything on Blast in over a week. I'm just sitting in USDB and ETH. And I think a lot of people, that's the simplest trade, right? Yeah. If you're on Blast to make Blast, right, then you want to be sitting in ETH and USDB, but you also want to be doing activity as well. So I'm sure what he said makes sense, which is that a lot of people are doing DeFi, because like if you're staking USDB, if you're lending out USDB, are you still earning that USDB, right, while you're earning points on the DeFi app? That makes sense to me. But yeah, man, this takes time. I mean, Miguel said, smells like Ordinal's first day or first days, right? Like the real test is going to be like, okay, when the token's live and people have like earned their incentive and it's been a couple of months, what does the ecosystem look like? But it's definitely going to be a longer journey than, you know, and we shouldn't probably judge them on the first couple of months. But yeah, man, I mean, it definitely was a little bit rushed, because I think that the whole series of events was like realizing on Blur that like the next step for Blur was for it to be on an L2 so that it could do a lot more volume, cheaper fees, etc. And then they're like, well, if we're going to put it on an L2, we might as well make our own L2, right? And then that's where Blast came to fruition. And I think they had a really quick timeline. It's hard for quality projects to go start to finish in like 2 months, because I think that was like the window, or maybe 3 months. It was like in November when they were like, build for Blast, right? And then they launched in February. That's a tight window. So yeah, it's a wait and see game. But I do think a lot of people on Blast are kind of just chilling, and they're trying to farm the L2 token itself.
And I don't think this is worth fading by any means. Like, this does feel like the uncrowded trade almost, while all the attention is like Solana meme coins, Ordinals, whatever it is. Like, I don't
want. What happens when there's a 5 to 6 figure Blast airdrop? The first one ignites an absolute fire. We saw it with Jito on Sol, and that's what led to this airdrop mania right into Jupe, which caused a ton of liquidity. And now people are like, oh yeah, I'm going to just like sit on Solana. It's more fun. And that's like what happens when Blast gives you a ton of incentives to stay on the network and actually do stuff. Like, it's such a no-brainer. Like, that's what I'm looking at. I'm like, dude, this feels like the most uncrowded trade. And that's where you should be looking. Because until you start to get some level of people where they're like, oh, Blast is actually bad or actually good, you won't see like a dictation on it. Like, I still have money over there. Like I said, though, I'm mostly playing YOLO games with it. I've sold out of all of my NFT bags over there.
And even the Penguins?
Oh, the Penguins, yeah, took a mean loss.
Dude, these are at a 0.14 ETH floor. Like, that's not minor.
They were 0.3, bro.
Okay, but they're not, like, this is not terrible. It's not, like, just a straight-up pump and dump. The Blastopians are, like, 0.15. Like, this is not
2.35 ETH volume, man. Those things are, you know, just flying off the shelf.
People are speedrunning to buy this high-quality art. Sotheby's next hyped drop is a Blast Penguin. It's not
What Easy said like makes a lot of sense, which is that like in this moment of time where we are right now, people are looking for the quick money, which is where a lot of the volume and liquidity is. So you're probably on Solana, or you're probably on Ordinals, right? Or you're on Base. And that's just that's just logical. The people that are a little bit more patient, they're probably chilling on Blast. But yeah, this is going to be like something where like I think 6 months from now will be more of a dictation as whether Blast has succeeded or not.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that concludes the Blast kind of discussion. I don't think it's worth like fading. It's just dead right now. And I want to get involved. I literally just want to make a Blast play or a Blast adjacent play. That's not like trying to farm points or spending like an hour a day trying to do this and that. I literally just want to be like, hey, if I'm bullish on Blast, what do I do? Is it just send a bunch of ETH over there? Is it buy more Blur? I was looking at my Blur trade. I bought some at like sub 50 cents. It's worth like $3,000 right now, but it's just staked. And it literally would have been better to just hold ETH these points
but
end up.
But you say it would have been better to hold ETH. It would have only been better to hold ETH as of 2 weeks ago. Like Blur has outpaced ETH up until ETH's most recent rally. Like that's the toughest situation. It's like you're never going to time every top and time every bottom. And so for that's like what I look at is like, I still think the Blur trade makes sense because you're not getting rewarded for holding ETH. Having Blur staked means you will get a reward. So it's like, will that reward outpace the gain?
If we assume ETH is going to like 5K, for example, it like I'm not trying to think too much about the past. I'm like, what's going to happen in the future, which is why I'm trying to figure out what the hell to do with ETH NFTs, because it's been what I love trading, what I love buying, but it's just down only. It's disastrous. And I'm like, dude, in the future, if we look at future entrants, why would they buy an ETH NFT versus Solana NFTs, much cheaper for like the cheaper entry points? And if they really want to go the ordinals or the digital identity route, they would go ordinals, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like very bearish right now, at least in the short term, on ETH NFTs, because it's just like Stakeland. It launched yesterday. I thought it was pretty cool, but because of gas fees, because of like you have to claim your meme coin and all that stuff. And you're like, oh, okay, I'm going to pay $60 to claim my meme coin on a daily basis. And like people were just pissed about that. So Ray and Nine Guy can't even do dope shit on ETH, the L1, because it's such a disaster with gas fees right now.
Yeah, imagine ETH at 10K and how much all of that stuff is going to cost.
It's going to be $1,000 per transaction, bro. It's like literally to swap like funds, it's going to cost more than a month of rent.
Yeah, and this is the play for Blast, right? Is if they do launch Blur on there successfully, where you're able to trade ETH NFT, because why are ETH NFTs valuable? It comes down to the provenance. It's the second biggest market cap token. It's been around since 2016, 2017. So it has a lot of longevity to it. So if they can unlock that, that's like the big, and that would be kind of like one of those ironic things in the universe where a lot of people say, you know, Blur killed ETH NFTs. If they were able to bring them back, you know, on the L2, that would be a fun story. But we'll have to see.
Yeah. And you know what is rallying? You know what is something that is worth monitoring and talking about is ordinals, dude. We saw a little bit of a bottom. These went super hot about a week and a half ago. Now they went and they possibly hit a temporary bottom. We saw Node Monkeys get as low as 0.45 Bitcoin. Since then, they have rallied. We're also seeing rallies across Quantum Cats. Mikami, this is a new mint actually that's worth, or Mikan is a new mint worth tracking. Easy, are you seeing any of this at all? This is the hot topic as of this morning. I'm curious what your thoughts are on it.
Yeah, I saw a bunch of people post when they got the allow list for it, like when it was basically, it was like a DM on Twitter that gave it to them. I think this one, a lot of people like it too. I mean, the art style kind of reminds me of Ink on BTC, which is like a very hyped drop that'll be happening as well. Ordinals in general, those seem to have bottomed. We saw Node Monkeys hit 0.4 to rally to 0.6 again. There's some good stuff, I think, that's going to continue to trend over there. Runes is the main focus, though.
Yeah.
I'm still holding those fucking things. But I think as soon as runes drop, it's just going to be like meme coin season over there. On-chain Monkeys just got that Rune X, the secret weapon drop that you see right there that's done 2.5 Bitcoin volume at 0.009. So that was to on-chain monkey holders that no like actual description of what it was. They just got it. And a lot of people are like, what is this? But yeah, it's going to be interesting. Cool.
It's hard for me to be bearish on anything ordinals, right? We have the halving, so we have the runes, like, and it's, and more catalysts coming. You look at like the ordinal maxi biz mint happening on Friday, if I'm not mistaken, which is the tomorrow. 15th. Oh, it's tomorrow. That's going to possibly either unlock liquidity or people are going to not be able to mint it. And I think it's going to have a trickle down effect. Like, I'm very bullish on all things ordinals from a long-term perspective. I don't think I'd buy something right now to like try to actively swing trade it, maybe, but either way, I think this is worth monitoring. The only thing that I'm trying to figure out is like, what is something that I can just hold that a year from now is going to appreciate as ordinals goes up? The last thing you want is you buy something, Bitcoin goes to 100 grand and it becomes relevant again, right? Yeah.
Like, that's the tough thing, I think, in general with NFTs right now. Is that if you're like, just logically, if you're really bullish on crypto token prices going up over the next 6 months, then most NFTs will not hold their relative base currency value in a pump. There's obviously exceptions to that rule, but in general, NFT season really goes off when the crypto token markets get a little toppy. And so I think like, a lot of people are like, oh man, like NFTs, like they suck to hold right now, or blah, 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 blah. This thing is like, this story has happened like time and time and time again. If you've been in the game long enough, it's like when ETH's going up or Bitcoin's going up or Solana's going up in a big way, sitting in NFTs is going to be painful. Once again, there's exceptions to the rule, But I think NFT season is going to come back in a big way. The only counter to like NFTs having as big of a like blow up this cycle, I think, is just how much meme coins has captured the attention of the market, especially from the retail perspective. Like retail seems like very interested in that. And I think retail was a lot of, you know, the what was going on in NFTs. And you see, like the even like the big like smart money in crypto, like saying, like writing these like narratives that like meme coins are part of the culture, yada, yada, yada. It's like meme coins have kind of like stolen, not stolen, but, you know, like taken what NFTs were last cycle, right? Like they're kind of like replacing that. So I think like that's the biggest biggest challenge, even more than the token prices that like NFTs face right now. But I don't think NFTs are going anywhere. It's just like something to keep in mind, right? Like if your buddies, right, last cycle your buddies were probably like, what NFT should I buy, right? Mm-hmm. In this cycle they're like, what meme coin should I buy, right? I mean, even my buddies are talking about that. So NFTs aren't like the hot new thing on campus right now.
Well, it's because so many more people are open up to like Solana. Like that's truthfully what it is with meme coins. Is so many more people are like, oh, I can download this wallet on my phone and click two buttons in the wallet and all of a sudden get a meme coin that I just watched you make 1,000x on. Teach me how to do this.
Yes, because like, teach me how to Dougie.
Exactly. Like NFTs were like, oh, I can go on my phone, press a button, buy a picture, and it goes up 200%. And now it's like, oh, I can go into my phone, deposit money into this wallet from Coinbase, and then immediately just press two buttons.
Dude, meme coins are literally just the big, it requires such little, like you're literally just buying this thing. You're like, is the price going to go up and or price go down? And price go up means this thing gets more attention. It's like someone else, more people coming in to buy this. It's super simple versus NFTs. Like, yo, we're going to do all this shit. We're going to get a cartoon. We're going to do another airdrop in the next mint and all this stuff. This is so much more simple. And like, I literally went to like a buddy of mine. He's like, yo, what should I buy? I told him to buy Bonk. He's like, cool. I bought $150 of it.
Yeah.
Getting him to do that took 15 seconds of him. And even like Solana, I went on and I started buying shit coins on Solana recently. And it was just like, you download the wallet, you put Solana into it from Coinbase and you can buy it. Literally takes 5 minutes and you can start participating in this stuff. It's actually like fun.
Yeah, and there's only like two options. It's like buy or sell versus like an NFT. It's like, oh, which one should I buy? Should I buy this? There's a little bit more decision making. It's more of a shopping kind of process. But I've been saying for a while that I think like NFTs need that like new meta, right? Like 2021 was like art, right? And profile pics, right? And I think like, and we saw it a little bit with like the 404 stuff, right? Where you could like convert like an ERC-20 into an NFT, but like I think there needs to be some sort of new catalyst or some sort of new meta. I think just like the old, you know, profile pic or art, like someone invent something new.
Well, that's the interesting thing is I think the DeFi, like hybrid DeFi, is going to be the meta, to be completely honest. Like we're seeing it on Sol and ETH, and we just saw the only thing pumping right now is I forget the full name of it, but it's Asterisks on ETH. It's like gig ascending right now because it's I forget what the full name of it is, but Asterisk is up 65%, sitting at a 1.36 ETH floor. Dude, these things were sitting at 0.5,
0.6.
So
what the hell is this?
Yeah, 404s. So it's a 404, so they're hyper liquid. And when you use the token, it mints a new NFT. So what people do,
I like this art.
I like it too. It's also a consistent gamble, is truthfully the thing, because it generates a new piece every time you burn the tokens. So Solana has it as well with SPL. I forget what the name is.
So you're almost like minting like new like NFT. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like you don't know what you're going to get. You could get a rare.
It's a loot box model. Literally how it feels is like, I can sell the NFT, get the equivalent in the token value. Token goes up, floor price goes up. So it's a hyper liquid NFT, which is where we sit here and we're like, NFTs are illiquid. This solves it while still giving you the art. So, SPL 22s is the Solana version. So like Mutant Mon was the one over there, where it's like hybrid Pokemon style things where you just mint the new one. So it creates this consistent level of fun and engagement from burning the tokens, hyper liquidity on the NFTs. And that's truthfully what we're seeing. Like we just saw, what was those boxes? Paradigms, Paragons,
Paragon.
I think that was with them.
Yeah, Paragon.
So 404s are like, I think going
Pandora,
to Pandora. Yeah, Pandora. You guys both agreed with me. I was like, I don't think it's Paragon.
Pandora.
Yeah.
my easy the one thing, and I hate to be bearish on ETH, and this doesn't mean like I have like 50% of my portfolios in ETH, but it's just like, dude, my chiblings, I had one, which are 404 tokens. To sell them and to buy them is so much gas. I don't know why, but it's like triple the gas. I don't know if it's because of this contract or whatever it is, but dude, to buy one was like double the gas of a regular transaction. I'm like, oh, this stinks. And one chibaruni is like 10 of the tokens or whatever. And I'm down terribly on this, but I mean, going back to Solana, I would way rather do this on Solana. It's innovative. It's exciting, but like doing it on ETH just freaking stinks, dude. It's bad. So
we have an ETH upgrade happening in like 30 minutes too.
Okay.
I'm not the smartest person. So maybe I'm like misunderstanding it, but isn't it just making L2s cheaper?
So that's the major confusion, is supposedly it's just making gas cheaper.
But I guess if it makes L2s more efficient, then maybe, because like L2s are posting, they're securing on L1. So maybe that takes up less of the network space on L1. So I guess that would make a little bit of sense. Let me just see what the top gas guzzlers are.
I saw this upgrade or whatever, this Cancun upgrade is supposedly upgrade. It's supposedly is only it Cancun? Making, it's Dan Cooner. Cancun is apparently only making gas cheaper for the L2s, like significantly cheaper, but for L2s on L1s, it's apparently not making a difference.
Yeah, because like, so like Arbitrum is like the sixth like biggest gas guzzler at like 2.44%, right? Number one is Uniswap at 17%, and then like Tether's at 6%, right? So like, even if you take Arbitrum from 2.4% to even 0.5%, okay, you're taking like the network pressure down by 2%. That doesn't turn your swaps from $60 into $6. That turns your swaps from like $60 to $58. No one like, yeah. I'll be like, oh man, I was telling you, I was waiting for this, man. I'm telling you, man, I'm trading the NFTs, man. Until now, bro.
Hey, Cancun, bro, let's go. Let's go. Yeah. You only got to pay $85 per transaction. Let's go. Now we're talking. I do think that all these problems go away on the ETH side when price starts going up. When price starts going up and there's like a real catastrophe, you're like, oh, I don't give a shit, dude. I'll pay a freaking $200. But
people try to come up with all of these complex justifications for the simplest thing, yeah, which is price go up, happy, price go down, sad, right? And they try to like these very simple binary emotions, they try to like translate into these like logical things. Well, that's like really not, dude. You're mad, price down. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the overall take on ETH NFTs as a whole right now, is it's hard to get excited about it, but we'll all start getting excited on it when there's some sort of catalyst, which I'm not. It's inevitable that something comes out that's new, whether it's the Blast, Blur and Blast, or some new project or whatever it is that's going to get people excited again. It's just right now, it's way easier to get excited about Solana meme coins, about ordinals in comparison to ETH NFTs. Just before we wrap on the meme coin department, Easy, I put in another $1,000 a bonk into Bonk. Am I out to lunch on that, dude? So here's my thesis on meme coins. I don't have time to like, dude, I bought Chinese Beaver. It is very fun. I have this wallet.
You where, love that meme, dude. And then that's one of my favorite memes. The guy's like, oh, no, no.
So I love, dude, meme coin trading shit coins is very fun, but like, I don't want to, I'm not going to talk about something on the show that like has a chance of just dying in 24 hours or literally like 10 minutes. So I've been like, I just loaded up this wallet with more Solana and I'm just trading shit coins with it on a daily basis. Something like, and I just look at it as like fun, but Bonk, I'm like, dude, I'll put money into this and I'm not going to touch it for 6 months to a year under the assumption that this thing could go to $20 billion in terms of a market cap. Easy. I know you have exposure to that. We have Whiff getting close to a new all-time high on the Vegas Fear, potentially getting funded and it going on the Vegas Fear. So I'm curious, like real meme coins, not shit coins, what you make of what's going on right now, and if we could see another kind of rally or what the next few months might look like on your end. You're muted, Easy.
Well, yeah, I think Clement Jade, it's probably very good.
Basically, yeah. Yeah, basically, that's all I was going to say. You know, I think that if Whiff gets on the sphere, then we should see rallies on all the Solana meme coins. Usually, like, Tuesdays in general are bad days for meme coins, too, for some reason. That seems to be the meta, which a lot of people have been saying is, like, Tuesday's the sell day, and a lot of times they rally the following days. Dude, I just think the meta right now is meme coins in general. Like, don't fade them. It seems where all the liquidity is. It seems where most people are having the most fun. And if people are enjoying it, it's tough to really fade.
And our researcher Ray got me plugged in with Banana Bot, and I've been using that, and it's been pretty interesting. It makes the Telegram trading bot, it's pretty easy. I'm like, dude, okay, this is way more fun. But by the way, Cancun upgrade just went live. Gas fees are still normal on the L1. People are getting mad at me, like, yo, you don't understand the tech, you don't understand. I don't understand the innovation that's going on here. I'm just a user that sees gas price stay the same, which is why it's hard for me to get excited about it. It's hard for me because there's so many ETH. Dude, I love ETH NFTs so much, so it pains me that, like, ETH NFTs just keep dumping, and I'm like, dude, come on, bro. Like, I buy into something, and then I see a blur farmer dump 40 of them. So I just, okay, I'm down 0.1 ETH in literally 3 minutes. That's so not fun to me.
It sucks. It literally sucks. Like, oh great, I'm down $1,000.
I just got some phenomenal news from Generative 22, Ron and Prime at all-time highs today.
Okay, that was the last thing I wanted to talk about, Kicks. You called Prime at $2.20. It's now at $20. Have you been and I think you've been adding to your position over time. I'm curious what you make of just everything Prime going on. Dude, and you have to keep in mind, I'm not a gamer guy. Like,
yeah,
I literally just bought a pretty big bag of IMX, of Immutable, and I've just been holding it because I'm like, okay, and it's up like 30%, 40%. Yeah. I'm like, okay, I'm happy, but like, it's hard for me to buy like Prime, for example, because I don't understand the underlying thesis behind it versus I would just be copy trading you.
Yeah. So what's your question?
What the hell is Prime basically, and why the hell it's done a 10x since you last called it? In like a nutshell, very simple bull case for a non-gamer like me.
Yeah, well, I think like the bull case for Prime probably is that first and foremost, like their flagship game, which is a trading card game, Parallel, is in open beta now. And they have a lot of like big, I'd say, like traditional gaming influencers like involved in their marketing campaign. And there's just not, once again, there's still not that many like really high quality games that are Web3 that are like playable right now. You know what I mean? That for me was like the bull case on Prime when it was way back at $2. So I was like, dude, I can actually like download and play this game, and it's a good trading card game, right? So like,
real quick, is this Parallel the same as Parallel Avatars?
So I'm getting there. So those are a little bit different.
Okay.
So they got their trading card game. It's live. It's now in open beta. People really like it. It's a great game. So that's component one. Component two is they're working on Parallel Colony. And Colony is they're basically creating like almost like an economy, like open world sim where like your Parallel avatar is going around this world doing things, but it's actually like controlled by AI, and you kind of influence your character, but you're not like actively controlling your character. So that's the big AI narrative that they have. That's like component two. And they're going to be releasing, I think, the white paper for Parallel Colony in the coming weeks. So that could be an exciting catalyst. And so now they have one game that's like live. They have a second big ambition AI game that's in development. And then like the piece that ties it all together, you're watching a video right now, is that they just have like really good IP, and they're like working towards like really developing out this IP ecosystem. So I think when people like look at this, they're like, this could be the Blizzard of Web3, right? And that's what like everyone is chasing, is that big potential. Now, like having said that, I didn't trade Prime perfectly, because like almost like the double-edged sword on Prime was that it pumped so early, right? Like back in August and September, and that's before like everything else took off, right? So I did a lot of like profit taking, and then got back in, like added my bags at $8 and added at $12 But I would be up way more if I had just been in a coma the whole time and just held my original position. Luckily, though, because of that, when I traded Ronan, I was much smarter on like my profit taking. I still have taken my initials off the table, but like at higher multiples. So I have a big bag there. So I'm really happy with that. But like, yeah, Prime has like the narrative of being like, we're not just like a token for a studio, and maybe you'll be able to like touch something we've made 2 years from now. Like it's already out in the ecosystem.
Got it. And last thing, easy. I bought AVAX. Is AVAX just a gaming play from now on? Like I bought a bunch. I bought like $2,500 at like $40 2 weeks ago, and I was pissed because I'm like, dude, Solana's pumping, ETH is pumping, Bitcoin's pumping, and AVAX was literally doing nothing. It's seen a pretty nice price appreciation over the last couple of days. I think it's up 35%. Nice. Are we going to keep seeing this thing rip? Is it just a gaming play now, Easy?
I think so. Like, we just saw that. We just saw the announcement of MapleStory.
MapleStory.
Yeah, that's huge. That's huge. And I think that's, like, a lot bigger than most people realize. And I think, like, the announcement, too, is, like, the subnet is supposed to streamline a lot of it. And then yeah. I'm continuing to say that it was like the big thing here is that this subnet makes it easier for them to manage it and don't need a partner to drive all of it. So yes. That was like a really, really interesting thing here for me is like, why is the continued thesis that AVAX subnets are going to be the best path forward for games because they can subsidize gas, because they can drive action off of it, because they continue to build on top of it and streamline a lot of it. And I think that it makes the most sense. You know what I mean? Like I'm looking at this and I'm like, this to me is probably the most clear path for gaming when you have stuff like MapleStory, which has from Nexon, one of the longest tenured MMORPGs and largest user bases being like AVAX makes sense here. And the one thing I always talk about is like, dude, South Korea uses an AVAX subnet for like bus fare and people like don't even realize it.
Damn.
Like yeah. HK Planet is huge.
Well, shout out to Easy because Easy was like one of the big influencers with why my game studio decided to build on an AVAX subnet. And like I ran that idea by Easy and he said that was great. But I think what a lot of gaming studios out there, like if you really care about the tech and the ability to scale and scale cost efficiently, the subnets make a ton of sense because like in gaming, right? If you want to have a lot of on-chain activity, like we just talked about like on Ethereum, right? It's like $65 a swap, right? But like when we ran the numbers across like all of the existing L2s across the board, there's only two ways that our games could scale and be cost effective. And it was Solana or an AVAX subnet. And we already had written all of our smart contracts in EVM. So AVAX was like the only clear choice for us. And if you look at what a lot of the other like layer twos and stuff like that, they're all going to the same thing, which is basically like this omni-chain situation where like, okay, you can create your own roll-up. Like that's what Zai did on top of Arbitrum. Like everyone's marching towards that direction. And AVAX has been building for that vision since their white paper came out way back in the day. So they've been building towards this vision for a while. And then they have a lot of interesting technology like Avalanche Warp messaging. And essentially what that is that's just like a natively integrated bridge between all of these subnets, right? So you can be on Shrapnel, right? And you can say like, oh, I want to take some of my assets over to MapleStory subnet, right? And it's going to be like a completely seamless process. So the network effects there is like very real, right? Where like once they hit like critical mass and they have enough games with lots of activity on AVAX, like the liquidity being able to be super fluid instead of fragmented is a big value add as well. And I'm super bullish on their like team, like Ed over there and the whole Ava Labs team. They're like phenomenal. Like these guys know what they're doing. I don't know why, but like for whatever reason, like AVAX kind of like in 2021, 2022, people just didn't like it. I don't know if it was like, you know, Twitter beef, whatever it was, right? But like if you pull back the emotion or drama or whatever like that, and you just look at like the infrastructure and you look at the tech and stuff like that, it's really solid. I wish I bought more Avalanche when Easy did, because I mean that thing just went from 10 to 40, and it's probably going to keep running. It's definitely a good play. And yeah, as you said, Clemente, full circle, it is, you can kind of make it as a gaming adjacent bet, right? You can be like, hey, I'm bullish on gaming, but I don't want to pick an individual game. So I'd rather bet on like the network that's going to facilitate a lot of gaming. It's that's a potential good bet for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I appreciate all that. And that's our show. But before we wrap, I want to give another quick shout out to the partner of today's show, Tensor, the leading Solana NFT marketplace. Tensor Foundation announced the launch of Tensor Token, which will be used to govern the Tensor protocols, which have already traded over $2 billion worth of NFTs.
$2 billion.
And the token is going to be used to continue to support creators and builders to build the most robust NFT ecosystem in crypto. And to learn more and stay up to date, make sure to follow Tensor Foundation at Tensor FDN on X. $2 billion. God, they're crushing it, baby. Let's go. That's our show. See you all tomorrow. Appreciate it. 9 a.m. Eastern time. See you then.